Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's been a good Thursday so far. This is hour two of show four of DA's vacation. Once again, it's Bogish and EJ in for DA. Greg Caserta's here for the second consecutive day. And Ryan Betcher has now joined the show because Pete Bilotti has left the show for today and for tomorrow. We assume he's back after that. Pete is in full-on interview mode today. Interview Pete. Front and center, and we're expecting his arrival within the next hour, and maybe a question or two to Pete about what he's wearing, what you should be wearing if you're meeting with him later today, about Sean's old job. You can hear us in all the usual places across the country, all our great CBS Sports Radio Odyssey affiliates, the Odyssey app, the CBS Sports app, Sirius XM, Channel 158. We are streaming for the second consecutive day, watchda.com, YouTube, Twitch, and of course, it's a Thirsty Thursday. So your toast, who, what you're toasting, who you're sending booskies to on this Thursday, at Andrew Bogish, at CBS Sports Radio. Still to come this morning, two guests, one this hour. Paul Tenorio writes, covers soccer for The Athletic. He has been on the Messi beat and will remain on the Messi beat. Messi is two games into his MLS career and has been pretty ridiculously good. So we'll walk through the last, 10 days of just soccer mayhem in Miami and in the MLS world with Messi, with Paul later this hour. In our final hour, Matt Mershell, who writes about college football and UCF for the Orlando Sentinel, will join us ahead of what is a huge day again in college athletics. Expansion is probably never going to end. Its tires are roaring right now, and it's another school leaving the Pac-12 for the Big 12. Another win in expansion for the Big 12 over the Pac-12. Colorado, as Greg mentioned in his update about 20 minutes ago, all we're waiting for them is to basically send a quick email saying, hey, we'd like to come back to the Big 12. The Big 12 has approved the invitation. The Colorado Board of Regents meets this morning to rubber stamp that request to go, and then they'll go at the end of this year. And at the end of this year, as Greg mentioned, there's no Pac-12 media deal technically, so there's no exit fee. I mean, a lot of these other conversations have revolved around how much do you owe, when am I going to pay it, who's going to give you this money, when are you going to get it, you're withholding that money. This is a free transfer for Colorado to go back to the Big 12 where they live from 96 through 2010. We'll get to the Colorado aspect of this in just a second and the Big 12 as well, but I've got to start with the Pac-12. Now, I'm a lifelong New Yorker. I went to school here. I grew up here. It's not like I'm a USC alum or an Oregon alum, so I'm not directly connected to this, and I'm not sure why I feel so strongly, but this bums me out that the Pac-12 is just disintegrating.
Yep.
These beautiful campuses, all of this beautiful history, and it's all basically running out the door because of years of mismanagement and terrible decisions. This goes all the way back to Larry Scott, the previous commissioner who came from the tennis world, who completely bungled the creation, the rollout, the continued existence of Pac-12 Network. One of my best friends in the world, Mike Yam, was the face of the network, and I could never watch because you could never watch Pac-12 Network unless you basically lived in Pac-12 Network headquarters. It was one of the worst run operations, worst positioned operations in recent memory. Larry Scott leaves, and this new guy comes in, and now he can't get a TV deal done. And because he can't get a TV deal done, they don't have San Diego State on board, and everybody just keeps leaving. And honestly, I don't know what this conference is going to be, if it'll be a conference at all, because as Colorado goes, apparently maybe there's the possibility that it's going to take its four corners buddies with it. That's Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah. And we're already losing teams to the Big Ten. So Oregon remains the one to go get. And why would you stay there? Because no matter what TV deal is coming for the Pac-12, it's going to suck. So it's not even going to be this big saving grace where they drop in with a you-know-what ton of money and all of this and all of that and all these reasons to stay put. This is an utter disaster, and I don't know when the bleeding stops. And it makes me angry that the Pac-12 is basically dead in the water. They're the ones that should be beating away teams who are looking for new homes. If you want to move up in the world, you should have been in the way things were going for forever in the history of college athletics. The Pac-12 should have been a destination place. You should have been begging for them to come in. And now schools, and I don't say this disrespectfully, but now schools like San Diego State are calling their shots. I mean, we had the AD in here, and I joked, like, you're about him being in the driver's seat. I mean, you could get this thing called the Pac-12 presented by San Diego State. And he kind of laughed, but like, that's the situation. It's a good school, but it's not necessarily a Pac. There's a reason why it wasn't in the Pac-12. You know, our friends in Boise are listening right now. I'm shocked that they're still not in the Pac-12 because that seems like a normal geographical fit. But guess what? That's not even the place for them to go anymore because it's not the best landing spot. I cannot believe that that a couple of people have created a world where everybody's leaving the Pac-12 and there's nothing this conference can do about it. The Rose Bowl is basically dead. These conference, you know, USC and UCLA are going to play completely untraditional opponents. Geography be damned. Travel crisscrossing the country. Their Olympic sports are going to be run into the ground physically and budget-wise by traveling to play softball or soccer or baseball in Indiana, not just cruising up and down the beautiful west coast of this country. I cannot believe that we're in this situation. And kudos on the flip side to the Big 12. They have made all of the bad Pac-12 decisions have been good Big 12 decisions. And the one that came back to from yesterday is as Colorado goes to the Big 12, the Big 12 has a TV deal and a good TV deal, which is why they're a place to go to and why they keep adding schools and are basically turning schools down. Their deal with ESPN just grows in value as they add more Power 5 schools. So the Pac-12 can't get a dollar right now to broadcast their games. And every time the Big 12 adds somebody like Colorado, they cash in more. The deal is based on the number of schools. It's not like it's, okay, it's $100 and you're dividing it evenly between 10, 12, or 16 schools. No. Every time a new school is added, the value and the price tag from ESPN goes up. So the Big 12 just keeps winning and winning and winning and winning. Brett Yormark is everything that the Pac-12 has not had in charge of it for the last, I don't even know now, 10, 12, 15 years. And in a blowout, the Big 12 keeps winning. And it doesn't even matter, P.S., that Colorado is arguably the worst Pac-12 football school. Dion, you know, pre-Dion, obviously. But if you're talking just from a sports landscape, like losing Colorado is not a huge deal. But losing Colorado is a huge deal because you're losing everybody now. And the teams that are still in the Pac-12, why would they want to still be in the Pac-12? Because what's their future? This is an abject failure and a disaster for the Pac-12. It keeps coming, and the Big 12 just keeps winning. They've got Colorado now. The geographical footprint extends even further to the west. They become more enticing for other schools who want to join. Now they've got Dion under their umbrella as well. Whatever he's going to do with Colorado now, they reap the benefits of that. I mean, it's just, It's not breaking news. It's not new, but it's just still startling to me every single time that the Pac-12 is such an utter embarrassment.
Well, the other thing, too, you look back and you say, when was the last national championship team to come out of the Pac-12? It was USC in 04. So the rise of the SEC, I think, probably also crippled the conference, where at one time USC was a destination and there were other schools that you would look to go to, Oregon, obviously, but the conference, you know, it became one of the least powerful of the Power Five. I mean, the whole conference in terms of recruiting, in terms of on-field product, like, listen, they were always up amongst the top 25. But once you got to the nitty-gritty of the season, they would slip out of the top 10. They wouldn't really get into the playoff, and they never really showed up on that big national stage. So I think in the end, the on-field product, outside of the finances and the TV deals and things like that, you know, they just got lapped by the SEC, and in turn, the other conferences followed suit.
But even the other conferences still did a good job of being number two to the SEC,
right?
And the Pac-12 didn't. It's like they're all, it's all interchanged. There was a way to survive while the SEC was running ahead of you football wise. I mean, the Big Ten is okay, even though they kept Alabama kept winning national titles or whomever out of the SEC, and the Pac-12 just went in the complete other direction and has never had a solid plan to fix anything.
Well, even going back, you mentioned growing up in this area and the now the dissolution of the Pac-12, and I'm not a huge college football fan. I follow the sport, but it is disappointing. And it goes back to even the Big East losing college basketball, you know, that the traditions of that going away and the creation of the AAC and all the merging and the moving that goes on. It is very disappointing because what we grew up watching, it's gone, it's never coming back, and it's just going to continue to evolve.
Doesn't it feel like there's a chance that we could be seeing essentially a two-conference college football league, essentially, like we see in the NFL? Like, it looks like perhaps the Big 12, and maybe they combine eventually with the Big 10, becomes one side, and then maybe you have an SEC that eventually when the ACC gets their deal situated, because a lot of teams upset with the ACC deal. And,
right.
And luckily for the ACC, their lawyers and their TV deals are so ironclad that Miami's and Florida State's can't get out. But eventually that they become their side and it kind of becomes an AFC versus NFC deal when it comes to college football. It just seems like that's inevitable at this point.
I think it would be two conferences split into two divisions. So you'd have, let's say, an SEC East-West like they currently have. And then you'd have the, you know, Big Ten North and South or Big Ten East West, whatever it is. That would I could see that happening for sure.
Yeah, we're gonna get to four somethings. Whatever, I don't know what we're gonna call them. I don't know how hard certain groups are gonna hold to like using my name or keeping my name. Maybe it is just SEC, ACC, Big Ten, and Big 12, and that's it. And there's, you know, 16 to 18 schools in each one of them, and that funnels into whatever the playoff looks like at that point. But that's always seems to be the end game. And all you're trying to do now is get yourself into one of those spots, one of those four landing spots, so you're there at the end when that's the official kind of ending spot. And that's why I, like, seriously, is there going to be a Pac-12? Like, it's no longer the Pac-12 that we know. But, like, is it going to be anything as we keep going like this? Or is it going to be, you know... The Mountain West.
Basically, I think that's the likely result, is that you'll have a Pac-12 by name, but you'll have very few original members. It'll be all the teams that bolt from the Mountain West and, you know, other conferences out that way. The SWAC, like, you know, whatever it is, like, it's just not going to be quality the way we grew up watching it.
I mean, Oregon is not staying there either. As more teams around them in the Pac-12 leave, they're the last thing to really go after. I mean, maybe they in Washington become some kind of package deal, because the Huskies have had, you know, fairly decent success. It's kind of the Seattle market. So, I mean, like, they're going to have nobody left to hang their hat on, because really that is, you know, there are 1.5 teams left that we truly as a nation care about in that league now, in Oregon and Washington. Washington State matters. Arizona State matters, but we'd be okay, heartlessly speaking. We'd be okay without them in the national football conversation.
Gonzaga will be there eventually. Fresno State will be there eventually.
Yeah, but Gonzaga not playing football makes their conversation different. And I know for a fact that the Big East calls them almost daily, and like, please come to our league.
And the Big 12 has also called, as me as a Gonzaga fan, like the Big 12 has had conversations with them as well about making them a basketball exclusive or maybe a basketball plus non-football sport kind of school.
And apparently the Big 12 is fascinated with UConn, and UConn, I don't know if they're equally fascinated, but there are some within the UConn kind of power structure that will anonymously tell the media that it's happening. It's just when it can happen, what it looks like, that UConn will go to the Big 12 because they, even though UConn's a basketball school, football matters, and their football team is a joke, it's a punchline, but it needs a league to be in, and it goes in the Big 12, and it immediately gets a huge push-up in legacy and validity.
And then on the Colorado front, I mean, to me, it feels like this could be a big boon for them, potentially. I mean, I know the move to the Big Pac-12 didn't go as well, but when you think of Deion being there and his ties to the Texas area, of course, playing with the Dallas Cowboys, his former school was based in the Dallas area. I mean, Colorado, I feel like, could be on the verge of something big here, with kind of being probably in a more realistic kind of destination and a more viable fit for them moving forward with Deion as their head coach.
Yeah, and I'm a nerd. Like, geography matters to me. And it doesn't matter to anybody else anymore, but it still drives me nuts when you're not, when you don't play where you live, basically.
Yeah.
Colorado feels to me like a Big 12 school, not a Pac-12 school. So from that vantage point, like, they should be playing the Nebraskas of the world, or not, that's not the right reference at this point, but they should
be playing
teams in the central time zone. Not, they should be coming east, not going west. So this at least makes more sense to me on that front.
Exactly. It's going to be Coach Prime, man. Like, you just, we keep kind of doubting how these things go, but it just feels like as we move forward, it really feels like he could be building something big there.
Yeah, and I guess he's back dancing already in the locker room this week. I think I saw that video yesterday after another surgery on that terrible, I mean, heinous looking foot he keeps showing everybody.
Ew, there's pictures of it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not looking, no.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Definitely not before breakfast.
What was he posting on his Twitter, his Instagram?
I don't know. I just, there's a foot with fewer toes than it's supposed to have, and health issues are serious. Like, he almost had to lose that foot. I get that, but I don't need to see it.
Yeah, because does he have diabetes?
I'm not
sure. Or is it just a blood flow problem to the foot?
It's always described as that, but I don't know if that's the lone thing or that is a symptom of a bigger thing.
Oof. I think he had turf toe.
Yeah, I believe it started with turf toe in NFL.
And it just never...
It's something that was chronic.
Yeah.
And it eventually became blood clots and now that's...
Oh, look, he's on TV right now.
Turf toe needs a better name. It does not sound bad.
Right.
It's a horrible injury.
It's really bad, apparently.
Now, I didn't know about this, the high end of, like, down the road problems that he has, but just turf toe in and of itself, that injury sucks.
How about we bring back trench foot?
That's its own thing, though. That's already been claimed.
But it's not used anymore, so why can't we combine them into one awful ailment?
I think you need a trench to have trench foot. So, like, it's not going to make sense when he's not in the trenches.
All right,
literally speaking.
Question for the youngins: do you know what trench foot is?
I do not.
Yes,
you know what it is.
It's when the water and bacteria and starts to rot your toes. And
look at this guy. That was a World War I thing from just standing in dirty, putrid water, and they would ultimately lose toes and feet. And
nasty.
Makes for good eats.
What about dead toe? For a new dead toe? Name for turf toe. Like, if it's ain't turf toe,
it's
too soft. What about dead toe?
We're rebranding it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, and I think about, like, as a kid growing up, I mean, we talk about the advancements of, like, player safety. I don't know how many times I saw guys playing on turf toe in the NFL, and it's being like, oh, he's out for a week, and then he's back. And now, you know, we're seeing the ramifications of what that can be with Deion Sanders. It's definitely been undersold. So I'm wondering if dead toe or killer toe, I don't know.
Yeah, zombie toe.
Zombie toe. Right.
P.S., one of the voices that you heard in there is Ryan Betcher, who's being Pete today, and Ryan continues his hot streak of T-shirts. He's got an average Joe's T-shirt on from Dodgeball.
Elite.
It really is. And you do a good job yourself,
Matt.
EJ.
Appreciate it.
But Ryan's tough to beat recently.
Well, we should have mentioned on the air yesterday that EJ yesterday wore a Good Burger T-shirt, which I don't think we addressed on the air.
We mentioned it
to him off the air, so I don't want to take away from EJ and his collection, but yeah. And I'm pretty sure that I was here for your first day on the board, right?
Ever?
Right?
For the DA.
For DA?
Yes.
Yeah, I was here for your morning debut, and you had a stellar debut. The day that Pete called out.
I got to tomorrow
right?
now, so.
Yeah, so don't screw it up, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it. When we come back, we'll get an update from Caserta, and we'll talk some MLS messy soccer with Paul Tenorio of The Athletic. All of that after this on CBS Sports Radio. It is the DA Show on this thirsty Thursday morning. Send us your booskies, your toasts, who or what you're toasting at CBS Sports Radio, at Andrew Bogish. We'll do our toast. We'll read some of yours next hour. Stunned to a news next hour as well. More college football as well with Ohio State and Michigan considering changing when they play each other every regular season because it may create issues for the Big Ten title game in the future. As Greg has teased, there is more to discuss on the NFL running back front. New day, new comments, more proof that there is no help coming for these running backs who would like long-term big money commitments from teams. And we'll do some baseball. Didn't get to Shohei Ohtani last hour. We'll try to do that this hour. Plus, Rob Manfred gets an extension as commissioner. Yay. soccer in a second. Paul Tenorio's covering the messy front for The Athletic. He will join us after headlines with Greg with two G's, and that second G is for hotness. What's up, Greg?
All right, folks. So we were talking about Jim Irsay. It actually was a tweet, so unfortunately no audio of my favorite country star. Quote, NFL running back situation. This is from the Colts owner. We have negotiated a CBA that took years of effort and hard work and compromise in good faith by both sides. To say now that a specific player category wants another negotiation after the fact is inappropriate. Some agents are selling, quote, bad faith. Jim Irsay is an idiot. That's all I got on that.
That was in the tweet, too? Well, that's your add-on.
That might have been editorial. Okay. So we mentioned that quick running back meeting from over the weekend. And Najee Harris of the Steelers shed some light on what was discussed. He said that the group spoke to the NFL Players Association asking officials about one hypothetical resolution using franchise tag numbers that are not assigned by position.
They're choosing when to devalue the running back. And what I mean by that is that if numerous times, you know, I can speak on my behalf, they ask me alone, you know, just, you know, the game's going to rely on you. You need to do this for the team. You got to do this right here. Hey, it's time to close out the game. Hey, we need to lean on you right now. And it happens in a lot of places, like Cleveland, you could say, Tennessee, you know, even with the Niners, you know, there's numerous teams where this happens at.
And we've seen the franchise tag thrown around for players like Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs. It comes in at just over $10 million, which is way less than any other position player. Only kickers and punters at $5.39 million receive less on the franchise tag. Quarterbacks, corners, wideouts, offensive and defensive linemen, and linebackers all get franchise numbers in excess of $18 million. So, yes, it is unfair, and it should be renegotiated so that everybody gets roughly the same number. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know that everybody should get the same number.
But ballpark.
But the $8 million gap seems too significant.
It's not even close. $5 million more than kickers and punters?
And I think the average kicker salary is higher than the average running back salary, which doesn't make sense either.
And then yesterday, to add insult to injury, Cole Kmet gets 4 years and $50 million from the Bears. So that much money going to a middling tight end. Yesterday, we reported here that Kadarius Toney had another surgical procedure on his knee. That's not the only injury for Chiefs wide receivers. Speedster John Ross was placed on the reserve/retired list. You might remember him. First round pick of the Bengals in 2017, number 9 overall, one spot ahead of Patrick Mahomes. He'll be remembered mostly for his 4.22 40-yard dash at the Combine in 2017. That is still an NFL record. So it appears that the 27-year-old's career is done. The honeymoon is clearly over for the Jets, with camp opening a few days ago and everyone saying they were flying around at practice. Yesterday wasn't so good, according to assistant coach Aaron Rodgers.
I thought we had five practices where we improved, and today it was kind of a step back a little bit. Felt a little bit tired, I think, as a whole. Mentally made a lot of mistakes, so we got to clean some stuff up, but that's part of training camp.
Rodgers, of course, has his new contract in place, 2 years, $75 million guaranteed, down from the original $110 million he was owed on the deal, so it's a $35 million pay cut that opens up some flexibility for Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas. Saleh certainly on the hot seat this year.
I joke around, but I'm serious, too. The guy glows in the dark, so he's a pretty damn good quarterback.
You should probably get that checked out if he's glowing in the dark. I believe that means he's radioactive.
Yeah, is that a good thing?
I don't know.
How would that be a positive?
Is that how you lose a foot or a toe?
I don't know.
That's maybe probably dead one toe. Right? Isn't that one of the early signs of dead toe? As you start glowing in the dark?
No matter what it is, talk to somebody about it.
Yeah, please. Consult your doctor. If you're glowing for more than 4 hours, please contact your doctor. This update brought to you by Blue Chew. By the way, Pete the Body Bilotti is out in the newsroom.
Of course he is.
He was here before 8 o'clock.
Of course he was.
He's got his thinking man's hat on.
Is that true?
No.
Is that a fedora?
That is. Like he's a domino player in Central Park. Moving those tiles around. Who's going to be sharing that room with me? So, yeah, the body is out there, and I believe is our guest here. That means it's time for me to say adios.
Thanks, Greg. We'll see you again in just a second. Yes, our guest is here, much like Messi is now in MLS, and two games have gone really, really well so far for Inter-Miami. Paul Tenorio is covering it all for The Athletic, and he's with us here on this Thursday morning on CBS Sports Radio. Paul, it's Andrew. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being up early. We appreciate it. To oversimplify things, two games, three goals and an assist and two wins, this is basically as good as it could have gone for Inter-Miami, right?
I think so, yeah, for sure. I mean, this is a Miami team, let's not forget, that sits in the bottom of the Eastern Conference in Major League Soccer. They hadn't won in 11 consecutive games before Messi arrived. And now they've won twice in two games that he's played, and he's been the difference in both of those games. Obviously, the memorable free-kick goal in the first game against Cruz Azul, the final seconds of that game to win it. And then against Atlanta United, just a dominant performance, the type of performance that we're used to seeing from Messi, whether it was at Barcelona or PSG with the Argentina national team. And now we're seeing it in Major League Soccer or in this League Cup competition at least. And I think it shows that, you know, to no surprise, to no one's surprise, you take the best player in the world, best player of all time, and you drop him into Major League Soccer, he's going to make a difference. And that's certainly been the case so far.
So what is fair to expect from Inter Miami as a team? I know, the standing is a big climb up. Like, what could they accomplish with him now the rest of the way?
I mean, I think certainly the expectation, look, MLS is set up to, it's not very difficult to make the playoffs. Nine teams in each conference make it to the playoffs. It's the first time that is the case. So there are some stats out there about no one in Inter Miami's position outside of the COVID year has ever been able to climb from this many points through this many games into the playoffs. Well, this is also the first time in MLS history that, you know, nine of the 15 teams in the East are going to make it into the playoffs. So I think, you know, the expectation certainly will be that they're going to be able to climb out of that hole, as difficult as that climb will be. But you've got Messi, you've got Busquets, Jordi Alba is still coming. He's expected to get his visa soon and join. They're adding more young players to this roster as well. What they call an MLS U22 players, which are players under the age of 22, where a team has unlimited funds to spend on the transfer fee, a cap on how much those players can make in salary, but unlimited funds in the transfer fee. They've already signed one player under that rule. They expect to sign two more. So this team is only going to get better. Gregory, one of their best players who's been out injured for the last few months, is back training on the side again, and they think he'll be back for the stretch run of the season. So I think, you know, not only are you putting Messi into the middle of this team, but you're getting better around him. And it's going to be a really fun climb to watch because, you know, that is the question. You take Messi, you put him into the worst team in Major League Soccer, what happens? Well, we're about to find out.
Is there going to be much resistance on a game-to-game basis defensively for Messi, or is he going to shine every single game that he plays for them?
Yeah, I mean, Messi and defending are not usually words you put together,
Let me rephrase that. Is he going to embarrass the MLS by coming in and walking in and just eviscerating teams, or will some of them be able to at least barely handle him?
No, yeah. I mean, of course, I think teams will. There are going to be games where he doesn't have as big of an impact as he had the other night. I thought Atlanta United was really poor, for sure, in that game. Defensively, you know, they looked stretched. This is a team that, in Major League Soccer, is one of the worst defensive teams in the league. So you got to take that for what it's worth as well. But, I mean, let's look through Messi's career. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, if you go through his season by season from Barcelona and PSG, his goals scored in the regular season starting in 2011 are 50, 46, 28, 43, 26, 30. I mean, this guy's scoring 30 and 40 goals in the top leagues in Europe. He scored 20 goals with 20 assists last year in France. So, yeah, he's going to score some goals in this league. And I think, you know, it's some of it will be about bad MLS defending. Some of it will be that this is what Messi does. He scores goals and he makes goals happen. And I don't think it'll be as easy as it looked the other night against, like I said, a bad defensive team that also played poorly. But I think that the expectation should be that we see Messi scoring consistently in this league. And, you know, I think after watching the other night, you know, my expectation for how many goals he will score went up, and I already had high expectations.
Paul, there was a video yesterday, I think I saw it almost at this very time yesterday, of people when Messi was subbed out of the game just getting up and leaving because they didn't want to stay for the rest of the 30 minutes or so. Is that a bad thing to see if you're MLS, or are you okay with the fact that they were just there in the first place?
Well, Messi was subbed out in the 77th minute, so there were 13 minutes left in the game, and the score was 4-0 at the time, and it was a Tuesday night in Fort Lauderdale. It was 100 degrees, basically. So I don't have a problem with people leaving. It's the same reason people would leave in the 8th inning of a 10-0 baseball game, right?
Like, yeah. Oh, I left a baseball game this weekend for that exact reason, so I made that call myself.
Yeah, whether it was, I mean, yes, they left partly because Messi was subbed out, but it was 4-0. That game was over. And, it, you know, you try to beat the midweek traffic out of the stadium and get home. I had no problem with it. I don't think it's linked to – I mean, look, realistically, we know Messi is bringing a new audience to Major League Soccer, right? There are eyeballs. I mean, look at what happened to Inter-Miami's Instagram account, going from a million followers to more than 11 million followers now. People watch Messi wherever he goes. And that ultimately is a good thing for Major League Soccer. They have to find a way to capitalize on those eyeballs. In fact, that's a story I wrote today about, you know, the debate of whether they should change some of the restrictive roster rules to allow teams to spend more freely and improve the on-field product even more to try to take advantage of those new eyeballs. But I have no problem with people leaving, you know, 12 minutes before the game's over when it's 4-0 and, you know, the result is decided. Whether Messi was still on the field or not, like that's a totally justifiable decision for me.
This is Paul Tenorio of The Athletic with us here on CBS Sports Radio. Going back to what you just said, your new piece at The Athletic and in previous ones too, you've talked about the fact that Messi actually, his contract was with MLS, not Inter-Miami. This is not, you know, the teams kind of act as one big group, not individual things. For those who haven't read your piece yet, just walk us through the difficulties of bringing Messi in because of the MLS structure in this regard.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it was the difficulty was matching. Well, you can't match the financial offers that were on the table for Leo Messi, right? I mean, the reports out of Saudi Arabia were that the offer was between $1.3 and $1.6 billion for 3 years. There's no matching that financially, no matter in any other league in the world, essentially. And so they had to try to find a way to put a deal together that would be enticing to him. And, you know, it included some interesting aspects like equity stake in Inter-Miami, that will kick in once he's done playing. You know, obviously there's a partnership with Apple and Messi as part of this deal. Apple is the broadcast partner for Major League Soccer. Adidas, Fanatics, both corporate partners for Major League Soccer, also both structuring deals with Messi, in addition to the salary and bonuses that he'll make. But yeah, it is interesting because the contract, it is a single entity league. So all the contracts for the players are with Major League Soccer, not with the teams. And that creates, I think, differences in some of the behind-the-scenes parts of the negotiations we don't usually talk about. Things like image rights that, you know, usually the negotiation is between the team and the player over what percentage of the image rights the team holds versus what the player holds, how you compensate for them. Well, Major League Soccer holds those rights for the player. So those types of things just added layers of lawyers and contracts, and it pushed the length of negotiation time longer and longer and longer to the point where Messi didn't sign his contract until the day before he was being unveiled. The official announcement didn't happen until the day before he was being unveiled. Not ideal to drop that news on a Saturday afternoon, but that's the way it went down.
And Paul, I'm guessing everybody wanted Messi in the league, but do we know if there are particular parts of the agreement that got pushed back from other teams, other owners?
Yeah, actually, you know, from everything I've been told, the owners have been very much on board with it. And it's a pretty simple equation. When you are a single entity league, everyone benefits from Messi being here. So, for example, MLS for a long time has had a revenue share on gate receipts. So what Miami is going to be doing this year and in the future when they get a bigger stadium in 2025, you know, that success is going to be success for MLS. Every away game that Messi goes to, those owners are making significant money selling tickets for those games. In some cases, more money for that game than they will for the rest of their home games combined. So this is an example of, you know, one player lifting the revenue streams for leagues, for teams around the league. And I think for that reason, owners aren't really pushing back. Not only that, but we know that there's going to be more people subscribing to the MLS season pass on Apple. We know sponsors are happier and you know, the prices go up. Eyeballs on the league go up. Those are all good things for Major League Soccer. And I think because this league is set up in a way where it's not franchised the way other professional sports leagues are, where there is kind of a what's good for, you know, what's good for one can be good for all, the owners recognize that in this case here with Messi and have embraced it. Now, I think, you know, I've been getting some funny text messages from some sporting executives around the league and around American soccer saying, oh, are they all going to be on board if Messi's, you know, beating up on their teams for nothing every week? Maybe that remains to be seen. But from an economic standpoint, all of these owners understand that this is going to be a commercial success for Major League Soccer.
And from everything that you've written, it seems like Messi has been an amazing teammate and, you know, buddy already to the guys. Was that all to be expected, or is any of that surprising that he is trying so much to fit in so quickly?
No, I think that's the expectation when you join a team, right? And I think even some of the little stories that have come out, you know, those are efforts that I think any reasonable player would make upon joining a team to try to kind of integrate into the side. Even when you heard like the funny stories coming out of the Galaxy locker room about Zlatan making fun of guys or whatever, you know, that was his way of trying to integrate into the locker room. You know, Messi's finding his own path to do so. You know, from everything we've heard, in the history of Messi, like when you look at his relationship with clubs, there's been tensions that have existed, but most of those have kind of been like higher level, right? Between the executives of the team and Messi, power struggles really, right? Because Messi, as we've been talking about, controls so much power, so much influence commercially that he's able to exert that. Within the locker room, though, you can see from the number of former teammates of Messi that are trying to come to Miami to play with him that he's been well liked inside of a locker room. And those are the stories that are coming out now of Inter Miami holding up the jersey of 20-year-old Ian Frey, who tore his ACL for the third time in 3 years in Messi's first game. You know, helping out some of the younger players after training, spending time with some of those guys, jumping into the WhatsApp group to get some tickets for a player that was looking for him. So, totally positive so far. And I think even the employees around the team have been surprised in kind of how their interactions with Messi had gone in the early stages.
Paul, this was great stuff. Thanks so much for being up early for us. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Of course. That's Paul Tenorio, The Athletic. I'm a big Athletic guy. I love the site. I love the way they kind of present stories, and Paul's doing a great job, and some other guys on the Messi beat. It is a fascinating story. It's still one that we don't know completely how to comprehend because we just don't know how to comprehend soccer. But one of the things that Paul mentioned in terms of like social media, if that's a tracker or an accurate tracker of anything, like going as a team from 1 million to 11 million followers because Messi joined, and like he himself has like triple the followers that LeBron has. Like it's astronomical how important he is, to the point where they have armed security at headquarters because people just need to be near Messi and will try to run on the pitch, will try to walk into the building, will try whatever. Like that's how strong they need to protect this guy, because there's that many crazies out there trying to just get a left hand on Messi's shoulder to say they touched the greatest soccer player of all time. And in his first game, basically a walk-off goal. I mean, you couldn't have asked for anything better if you're MLS. When we come back, we'll do some baseball. Shohei, still an Angel, and the Angels in general buy in before the deadline next week. That's next here on the DA Show.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is CBS. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks again to Paul Tenorio of The Athletic for joining us last segment. Next hour, this is the last hour of the show, a little more than an hour from now. Matt Mershell of the Orlando Sentinel is on the show to talk us through the latest college football news. It's a Thursday here on the DA Show. Dixieland Dan tweeting in, I'm toasting to heat battling items, Gold Bond Friction Defense, pickle juice, dry fit cooling t-shirts, AC, and ice cold beers. Damn this 110 degree heat. Give me winter. I can always put more clothes on. There's only a certain amount I can take off before I get arrested.
Booskies!
That was one of a handful of pro air conditioning, anti-heat toasts. It is officially too damn hot. We are here in the Northeast or entering 3 days of plus 100 heat indices, whatever the plural of index is. And this is my least favorite weather. Me and humidity are enemies, especially when it's hot and humid at 4 a.m. on the railroad platform. When there's no sun, it should not be hot and humid. It makes sense during the day, hot, humid sun. I don't need stale air at 4:25 a.m. I hate this. And Dixieland Dan is mostly right. Now, I think his idea of winter is slightly different than ours here in the Northeast, but give me May and give me September here in this area where, you know, we're in the 70s, maybe 80 on a hot day. It's warm enough to go in the pool if you need, but then up go the windows, beautiful, crisp, dry air to sleep in. That's my weather.
No, I love this.
Of course you would.
I can't deal with the cold. I can't deal with the snow. I don't want none of that, okay? So if there's some days we got to deal with some warm weather, it's okay. Go inside, get some air conditioning, and you're fine.
Shoveling.
And in a couple of days from now, it'll be 85 again, and it'll be great.
Yeah, that is the payoff. Apparently, like when we get to Sunday, it's supposed to be a little more palatable here. And shoveling does suck. But another pro winter take for me is I take my jacket off, and I get here, and I still feel fresh. I come in the summer. I showered an hour ago. I show up here. I'm already sweaty, dank, trench foot,
is near. I don't need any of that.
But isn't it good, though? It's almost like when you're a basketball player or a football player, you go through warm-ups, you get a little lather going, and then you walk into the studio, you're firing off on all cylinders.
I don't need a lather while I'm sitting here in an office around other people. It's why I don't understand, and I think people will have a problem, the people that bike to work and then just come to work in a full sweat.
That is crazy to me. And I don't know if there's anybody who does that here, but in my old job, there were several people who did that. And that was a job where you were wearing nicer clothes. So, you know, they're now wearing a dress shirt that's, you know, looks like Sean Miller in the third quarter of a Big East basketball game.
Now, Kaplan, at one point, maybe he still does, like, bikes kind of here, cuts it in half somehow. There is a Kaplan bike. There are others who in this company that drive halfway and then bike the rest. They park. They don't want to park down here. They park halfway down from their house north of the city, and then they'll ride their bike the rest of the way here. And that person was famous for taking like a bizarro shower in our handicap bathroom stall where there's like a full sink. He'd go in there and like splash water on his pits and stuff like that to kind of refresh. But you don't need to go. EJ, the other day I was downstairs at, I don't know, 9 in the morning, and a guy came into our building in dress pants and dress shoes and a nice T-shirt that was so drenched in sweat, it was like hanging off and was so heavy, and he had a bike helmet under his arm. Like, you're just going to go sit at your desk like that
now?
That's
awful.
You can't do that.
Yeah, that's bad.
An HR violation.
Yeah, you got to understand how to work the heat and deal with the heat and manage the heat. So I get that part. And trust me, I think we've been living that in this control room because today it smells great. Or I don't know if something happened, but it smelled like something died in here for the last 2 weeks. I think, Ryan, I don't know if you smelled it, but like I've been walking in here for the last 2 weeks, and I'm like, what is that smell? And I was talking to the producer earlier this week from Amy Lawrence's show, and I was like, what's going on here? Like, it was crazy.
It's amazing that this place stays on the air every day. It really does. Between smells and exploding vending machines, it's just
moss growing in the control room.
Just, it's not a place to work. Still haven't talked baseball. At some point, maybe we'll do that. I don't know. When we come back, though, Ohio State and Michigan may be changing their calendar in the near future. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.